Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO. And today in YOLO, You Only Live Twice, we've got a very packed lineup for you. Some amazing topics, some very informative views, and some very, very precious Madni pearls on the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Before I go far, let me start with a beautiful blessing of Durood-e Pak and then introduce my guests. Now, just imagine the day of judgment, a very difficult day full of terror, accountability and difficulty. And for those who are blessed to be close to the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal, well, they will have some backup. They will have somebody to turn to in that difficult time. So can you imagine those who are with Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala, the great Shaykh? They will be particularly happy. What about those who are with the Anbiya Ikram? They're in bliss. Now imagine this. What about those blessed souls who are with the best of creation, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? Truly, that difficult day for them will be the best time of their lives. Subhanallah. With that in mind, listen to this beautiful hadith mubarakah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "The closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited Durood-e Pak upon me in abundance in this world." Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, alhamdulillah, we're very blessed. We've got our guests in all three of them this week, mashallah. Let me start with Shiraz Bhai. Welcome to YOLO. Hope everything's well. You had a nice week. Mashallah, mashallah. Habib Bhai, as normal. Great journey. He was here first as well, mashallah.
He always isn't he?
He always is, mashallah. And he's taken... It's difficult for him because we drive, but he gets the train. So it's a lot more difficult journey for him. But the beauty is more rewards. Exactly what I was going to say. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. It's easier for us. So we, you know, if we got the right intention, we'll be rewarded. But for him, mashallah, he's already walked in with a great sack of rewards. May Allah reward you.
Ameen.
How's things? Ameen. You all well?
Alhamdulillah.
Bisharat Bhai, how are you? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil
alamin. MashaAllah. Now, viewers of Madni Channel, we've got three very packed segments for you. But not only three packed segments, we've got much more in today's program. There is an interesting competition today. It's a competition between us four. And that competition is going to come after our first segment. And it's a competition about the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to each tell you a story about the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the amazing Sahaba Ikram or the pious predecessors, and how what their love was for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then inshallah we've got a beautiful section for you at the end, truly, truly mesmerizing, fascinating, an insight into the day of judgment like you've never had before. But I'm not going to tell you anything else. I'm going to let you watch. Stick to Madni Channel, keep watching Madni Channel. We'll move into our first section. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
Gee, now in our journey of the soul and the signs of Qiyamah, what we had arrived at last week was the introduction of the main characters. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, our learned scholars gave us a very good insight into the great Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala, then the deceiver, the Dajjal, and then the arrival of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and then this creature of the earth, Dabbatul Ard, which will appear at different times throughout the towards the end times. Now today, inshallah, we're going to move on from there. It's an amazing time where the minor signs of Qiyamah have occurred. Some of the major signs are now coming together. And so we wanted today to really see what happens next. We know who the main characters are. We know that they are going to come together at some point. But what happens next? I'm going to come to Shiraz Bay. Shiraz Bay, you know, you both, all of you, very beautifully highlighted last week the main characters, and we heard about the great life of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. You told us about the attributes, the qualities, and the characteristics of Hazrat Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whose character Mubarak would be like the character of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful character that is. And then, you know, the Dajjal, the deceiver, and how he would set up a system and deceive people. And then this Dhabatul Ard, with the, as Sharad Bhai told us last week, with the staff of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and the ring of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. So they're all there. What happens next then?
Imam Mahdi radiallahu anhu and Ad-Dajjal, both of them, they are strengthening the faith of their followers.
Okay? Right.
Imam Mahdi in a positive way, and Dajjal, he's, you know, causing illusions, tricking the people, deceiving them. And both of them are becoming stronger and stronger. However, Ad-Dajjal, he has one last, we could say, obstacle. And that obstacle is that he knows that I will not be able to enter Makkah and Medina. But he's been around the entire globe now. And these are the last two cities remaining where he cannot enter. Now, when he gets there with his followers, with the people that followed him, when he gets to the gates of Makkah, now, in front of this, when he gets there, there will be a large creature. Now, this creature is Jibreel alayhi salam, one of the archangels, one of the four main angels. And Jibreel alayhi salam will be stood there. Now, the Dajjal will know this is him, but the followers, they won't. They will know there's a person or something in front of them, but they will not know that this is Jibreel alayhi salam. And he says, why are you here? He says, I'm going to enter Makkah. He says, you can't enter here. Allah has sent me to protect this place. And now he will, now I want to rewind it to about 1,000+ years before this. From that time, about 2,000 years before. So in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Quran was being revealed, there was a group of people, and the Sahaba Ikram asked them, that, why don't you accept Islam? Why don't you believe in the final messenger, alayhi salam? They said, we have no issue with that. We would believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, the thing is that if Mikael alayhi salam brought revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would believe in him. But because Jibreel alayhi salam brings revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't like him, ma'azullah. Why? Because it's Jibreel alayhi salam who has punished them in the past for their issues that they, you know, the sins that they done. Allah subhanahu sent Jibreel alayhi salam to punish them. So since then, they've had in their predecessor stories, they've had that Jibreel alayhi salam always punishes them. But it's because of their sins. So they said, basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that, you know, whoever is an enemy of these individuals,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a glory side in the amazing Quran, isn't it?
And so whoever is an enemy of these individuals, man kana aduwwan lillahi wa malaikatihi, whoever is an enemy of these people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes the kuffar, aduwwan lil kafirin. Now, so this is the background story of that. So when they get to Makkah, the Dajjal is in front of Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam stood there, and he will say, Allah sent me to protect this, leave from here. Now, out of the fear, he will leave, but he won't show his followers this fear. So they will go to Medina Sharif. And now Mikael alayhi salam stood there. This is the angel that they actually, you know, wanted. Now he will say, Allah has sent me here to protect this place. Leave. Now, then they will go back to Makkah for the, you know, second time and try again, try the look. But like this earthquake, this tremble will start in this area, and it will cause Dajjal to flee, his followers to flee, and even the hypocrites that are inside this boundary, for them to leave as well.
And will the Dajjal know? Obviously, the people that are with him won't recognize Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, but will the Dajjal know that this is Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam?
The Dajjal will know this.
Allah, yeah. Allah.
And now, so these followers that have left the haram, they will join the Dajjal as well, because they find their hope with him. And they, you know, even though the Quran says وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا, whoever enters inside this boundary, he is safe. He is safe. Nothing will happen to him. So even they, because of that weak faith, they will leave.
So these are the hypocrites. So when there is the earthquake in the city, in the haram of Makkah al-Mukarramah, these people, because of their weak faith, they think, to be safe, we need to be outside the haram because the earthquake's there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Allah's way of getting rid of the hypocrites from the beautiful Haram-e Pak.
Yeah, so now at this point, Dajjal will flee from there. He will flee from there and probably retrain his followers or whatever it is, cause deceptions around the world. Now, at the same time, a group of Muslims will go towards Damascus. And a group of Muslims will be inside Masjid al-Aqsa. Now, Dajjal from here, and at the same time, we said that there's a special individual that we have not mentioned yet. Now, this is where that special individual comes in. There was a prophet in the time of Musa alayhi salam, mentioned in Surah al-Kahf as well. Once again, you know, Surah al-Kahf, it brings back, you know, it tells you about the Day of Judgment, the things that will happen. Now, Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam, another prophet of Islam. And long story about him, fascinating story. He drank from Bahrul Hayah.
Bahrul Hayah.
Now, according to Hazrat Muhyiddin ibn Arabi, Bahrul Hayah is he's named as the love of the Prophet.
Allah, 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 Subhanallah.
And he says he's drunk out of it. Now he won't pass away until the Day of Judgment.
جِنْكِ تَلْوُونَ كَ دُوْوِنْ هَيْ عَابِهِ هَيَا تُسْجَانِ مَسِيحَ فِي الْعَقُسْرَحَ.
Now, so this is what Ibn Arabi says, but Bahrul Haya literally is a stream. So when drinks out of it, he will, you know, live, he'll become immortal until the Day of Judgment. Now Khidr alayhi salam, he had drunk from that. And so he is still alive today. And this is, you know, this is derived from the Quran, the Mufassirun. This is not, you know, something, it's not like a fairy tale, it's actually a true fact of Islam. Now, his mission will be, in his stage, will be that he's going to expose the Dajjal's tricks. So each and every one of them, he will prove to the people that this is an illusion, this is fake. And his, you know, what we call, you know, him exposing, his exposure of the Dajjal will become famous. And everyone's hearing about this person, how he's exposing the Dajjal wherever he goes.
So Sayyidina Khidr
alayhi salam, yes, he's exposing the Dajjal's
there
tricks.
Is no doubt he's a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla as well, because I think Mufti Qasim Sahib Damat Barakat Mulalia recently did a short video, because a lot of people there was some confusion, and they were saying that maybe he's a Wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Mufti Qasim Sahib Damat Barakat Mulalia really clarified.
Allah Hazrat mentions directly that he is a prophet of Allah.
And if Allah Hazrat mentions it, that's the, yeah, for us, that's it.
Full stop.
Full stop.
Yeah. So Khidr alayhi salam, now what will happen? So he's exposing, so now Dajjal, he has all these things in his mind. I've just got done over from Jibreel alayhi salam, from Mikael alayhi salam, and now there's this person exposing me. He's threatened by the arrival of Isa alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi on another side. Now all these things are, you know, is draining him. Now, he will go towards Masjid al-Aqsa, because he couldn't get into Makkah, couldn't get into Medina. Now let's go to Masjid al-Aqsa. Now, the Muslims, they will be in separate groups. Some have gone to Damascus, some are in Masjid al-Aqsa, and some are with Imam Mahdi somewhere. Now, when the Dajjal this time, he's going towards Masjid al-Aqsa, and now Khidr alayhi salam, in the hadith, he's called the An-Nadhir. Nadhir means the warner, the one who's exposing the tricks of the Dajjal. He's called An-Nadhir. Now, when they are in Masjid al-Aqsa, Dajjal is coming. Okay, they hear about Dajjal is coming towards Masjid al-Aqsa. Now, Khidr alayhi salam, this An-Nazir, he will say, okay, I will go and tackle him. I will go and face him. The Muslims will say, no, we will go, you stay here, we'll go and, you know, deal with him. So now, soon as Khidr alayhi salam turns around, now there's another story where Isa, this same thing happens with Isa alayhi salam, that will come as well. But when Khidr alayhi salam turns around, the Dajjal will be in front of him. So they will basically, you know,
face to face.
Now, the Dajjal will say that you are the one that's calling me a liar. And he will, you know, turn around to the audience and say, if I, cut this person into two and bring him back to life, will you then believe that I am the God?
Shayateen that the people can't see to bring these people, to pretend that he's brought them back to life.
So in this specific one, is mentioned that he will slice him into two.
Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam.
Khidr alayhi salam. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla will put him back together.
Allah.
And the Prophet, and basically when he gets up, he says, Wallahi, that by Allah you are definitely the person that, or the thing that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us about. Remember, his name is the warner as well. So he says, you are definitely that person. And the Muslims, their faith will become even more stronger because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the exact same thing, that this will happen. And when this happens, on the other side, 500 miles away, Isa alayhi salam is his time of arrival. And he will descend on that, you know, the minaret, the eastern minaret of the masjid in Damascus. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that towards the tree he will arrive. And he will descend. And it's mentioned that when he puts his head forward, drops of pure water will pour from his hair, his blessed hair.
Allah.
And when he puts his head back, beads will fall, pearls. Mm-hmm. Something amazing this is. And he'll be wearing two garments of saffron color and a green turban, according to Shaykh Abdul Rauf Al-Manawi, rahimahullah. And when he descends, so now the way he is mentioned is he'll have one hand on the back of one angel and one hand on the back of another angel, and he will descend like that.
Gliding down,
yeah. There's Imam Mahdi, the Imam, who the Prophet ﷺ has told us about. And then Isa alayhi salam has just walked through the masjid of Masjid al-Aqsa, the doors. Everyone turns around because they expected this as well. Turned around, and you could imagine what is going through their mind at that time. And Imam Mahdi will be stood on the prayer mat. He will say, Ta'al, salli lana, that come forward, lead us in our namaz. And Isa al-Islam, he will say, La, that no. Some of you, for others, are imams. Takrimatullahi hazihil ummah, that this is the honor Allah has granted this nation.
Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's arrival, and the first thing they do is to go to the masjid. The first thing, that the first action that they're doing is they're performing namaz with jamaat as well.
Allah, Allah, Allah. And this kind of gives you an indication of what the blessed people are going to be, who are going to be protected at that time. Those who leave the masajid and leave salah, they are going to struggle. Just want to come back to Yishraz Bey to carry on from there. Habib, you were going to mention something.
Such a scenario when people are going to be in difficulty. And even in that time, people are still going towards the salah and going towards the masajid. So we should also try our best to, inshallah, pray our salahs as well, inshallah.
We've only got about 5 minutes left on this segment, and then we're going to move on. So just to recap, we heard about the characters, alhamdulillah, that are going to be there with the great Nabis of Allah Azza wa Jal and Hazrat Imam Mahdi radiallahu ta'ala, and the very pious Muslims who've, you know, been given the privilege and the honor to be there. And then the Dajjal roams the earth, and apparently he goes to every city and he shows his magic tricks and everything else, and he deceives people, tries to come to Makkatul Mukarramah. Sayyidina Jibreel Amin sends him away. He then goes to Madinatul Munawwara, and then Hazrat Mikail alayhi salam sends him away.
One last thing, you know, every single point that's been mentioned, for example, from Imam Mahdi to come, Isa alayhi salam and his mission, Ilyas alayhi salam, why he's there, Khidr alayhi salam, you know, the Mikail alayhi salam, Jibreel alayhi salam, you know, each and every individual, it all has a background story as well. It all has history attached to it from thousands of years.
Allah.
And this, you know, right in the end of times, you know, the all that, you could say, revenge that was had to take place, takes place against this cruel person.
It's almost like an amazing, very time-lapsed puzzle that is all coming together in a beautiful form in the end time. So you've had the minor signs of Qiyamah, all these different things have happened, and then everything
but
is
at this point,
together.
Rumbai Dajjal, in our words, he's become a Buddha now. He's run out of juice. He's got no taqat left. He's
right.
Got no jaan. And now he's reached his final moment.
So main karita takiya. So he's me, and now he's tired.
Now he's got no more energy left in him. And then Isa alayhi salam, and so the true Messiah and Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal, the deceiving Messiah. Now these two are head on. And now you can Isa alayhi salam.
When the truth faces falsehood, the falsehood disappears.
جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَحَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. That when the truth arrives, the falsehood finishes. And that's what will happen here. And Harumba, I think, you know, the finale, you could say, the end of the Dajjal, inshallah, we'll talk about that next week.
Views of Madni Channel, you must have found that fascinating. But the real lessons in there that certainly, mashallah, Bisharat Bhai beautifully picked up and were playing on my mind was that those who were pious, even for their food, they were using the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abi Hayat, I mean, this is the other Madni pearl that I took. You know, all for many, many years, you know, you read in the glorious Quran and people mention Abi Hayat and you think, you know, where is it? What is it? Is it a drink? And Hazrat Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi, rahmatullah alayhi, has kind of solved that puzzle for us. It is nothing other than the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then, you know, the emphasis on salah, masjid, salah. And even at the time, these difficult times, the people will be gathered in the blessed houses of Allah Azza wa Jal. Protect your salah. Use the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal as nourishment for your ruh. And try and build a relationship with the mosques. Inshallah, we're going to move on to our second segment today, which is Madani Recharge. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
So for the first story of Ishq-e Rasul, the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm going to start where I finished with Shiraz Bhai.
So one story that, you know, whilst on the way here, I was thinking, you know, what story? But on the one story that actually stands out is there was a young boy who got kidnapped in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. When he got kidnapped, he was sold as a slave here and there in Makkah market, sold as a slave. And eventually Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha became the owner of this slave. His name was Zaid, and is the only Sahabi that by name has been mentioned in the Quran.
So
she owned him as a slave. And when Khadija radiallahu anha and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they made nikah, when they done the nikah, she gifted this slave to him. Now you could imagine, he's been kidnapped at the age of, I think he was 8, he's been sold here and there, he's been used as a slave, and now he's ended up with the best person
ever. What a place to finish.
And now what's happened? So he's serving in the court of the Prophet ﷺ for many years, and eventually, I think he was the uncle of this same boy who entered in Makkah, and he recognized him and he went back, he told the father that I've seen your son in this place, and he's with some person called Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so they, you know, they come to Makkah and they say, you know, this is our child and we'd like to take him back. His mother's missing him, his brothers and sisters are missing him, I'm missing him, and it'd be good to, you know, just reuniting Prophet ﷺ. And they say, look, we'll pay you anything, let us take him. Whatever, you know, we owe you, let us take him. And Prophet ﷺ says, let him decide. And he says, he's looking at the Prophet ﷺ on one side, He's looking at his father on one side, he's thinking about his mother, his brother, his sister, the love, the affection, the support that I get from the family. And then he's looking at the Prophet ﷺ's face. And he turns around and says, I want to stay with the Prophet. The love, the affection, the support, the respect, the honor that I get from serving this special person, I will not get that anywhere else in any other family. I want to stay here.
Allah.
And this was the story that, brings that, makes you understand that this child, think about it, he's been kidnapped. Imagine going through that. He's gone from one slave ownership to another, ended up on the best doorstep in the entire universe. And now his father's come back. And they had a 10-minute conversation or so. And he said, Father, Khuda Hafiz. And he stayed with the Prophet ﷺ.
Well, I haven't heard the others yet, but I think I'll give you the prize anyway. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. I'm going to move to Habib Bhai. Habib Bhai, you've got 4 minutes to... really fill our hearts with the love of Nabi Kareem.
My story on the love of the Prophet.
A difficult tag to follow, I have to say.
It tags along with a little bit with Shiraz Bhai, is to do with also another slave of the Prophet, Sayyidina Thawban, radiallahu ta'ala. And this beautiful individual, once he was in the house of the Prophet, and it was time for bed. And he left, and he left the court of the Prophet ﷺ. At Fajr time, when the Prophet ﷺ saw him, he saw that his hair was all over the place. The color of his skin was very pale, and he looked very distressed and stressed, really, like something has really big bad news has hit him. So the Prophet ﷺ, as being the most affectionate, he came and he said that, Thawban, I saw you just before at night time, you were, well, you were fit and healthy, what's happened? So he said that, Ya Rasulullah, when I went down and laid onto my bed, I felt this certain feeling in me, and this thought came into my mind that, Ya Rasulullah, you, on the Day of Judgment, and in Paradise, you're going to be with the Anbiya Ikram, salatu salam, on that level, such a high level where all the other prophets will be, and a person like me, a slave, how will I, be in your company in paradise?
Look at the search of this. Amazing.
This is the amazing love that he had. And upon this, a verse then came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, he came with a wahi, and the translation of which is that, and those who follow the command of Allah and His Messenger, and they will be with them those whom Allah has blessed, the Anbiya, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, and the Salihin. So after hearing this, he was so filled with excitement that Alhamdulillah, that the Prophet ﷺ has allowed me to be with him in paradise.
SubhanAllah. Look at the Madani Sochi of the Sahaba Ikram. They thought, we've been blessed in this world by the blessings of the Nalene Pak of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We'll be getting to Jannah. But when we get to Jannah, Jannah is no good to us if we can't see the best of creation. So we want to be close to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Amazing again, mashallah. Very beautiful one. Bisharat Bhai, your choice. If you want me to go next, I can go next if you want to go.
No doubt every Muslim in their heart, every moment, their Eid is to behold the beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I wanted to just mention some beautiful couplets from Peer Sayyid Mir Ali Shah Rahimahullah, and in terms of a short description of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how important it is to learn about the description of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and without doubt follow in the footsteps, follow the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. So this particular poem, Peer Mir Ali Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Ta'ala Alayhi, he's a renowned scholar and wali, and he wrote this poem whilst lost in the beauty of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he starts the kalam with, Aj sik mitran di vadeeriye, kyun dil ri udaas ganeeriye. Meaning, why is the yearning for the beloved one, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, especially strong daily? And he says, why is my heart sadder today than ever before? And he further says in the kalam, is surat nu main jaan aankhan, jaan aankhan ke jaane jahan aankhan.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
I'm not sure whether I should call this face the essence of life or life of the entire universe.
Allah.
This kalam is quite long, but I specifically wanted to mention the one couplet when he describes the beautiful description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani he goes on to describe the blessed hair and eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, "Kali zulfe te ak mastani ye." And the translation for this is, his hair is black and his eyes are delightful. Wow. What did this kalam, it points to the hair and the eye, yani the hair, the zulf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the Shama'il of Tirmidhi, it mentions regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hair, and it states that his hair was neither curly nor was it completely straight, and rather it was straight with a slight wave in it. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had beautiful wide eyes, and it mentions specifically the pupils of the blessed eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's been mentioned that the whiteness in the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the whitest of white, and the blackness, yani in the pupils of the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the blackest of black. Yani there's so much perfection in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you know, we should always learn about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seerat, and not just learn about them, but also learn about their description. And who knows, one night we could go to sleep and our kismet could wake up and we could be holding the
Mashallah. Very beautiful, mashallah, beautiful. Very difficult acts to follow. I've got something very, very simple. You know, Sulh Hudaybiyah, it was a very tough time, and the conditions that were imposed upon the Muslims were very difficult. And the Kuffar of Makkah, they said that, you know, if one of ours comes to you, you have to return him. But if one of yours escapes from us and comes to you, we can bring him back. So you can't keep him. Hazrat Abu Basir, he came into the fold of Islam and he became a devotee of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And when he did, there's a beautiful story in Hadith Mubarakah. It says that Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you." And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you." And he said, "Are you sure?" Mm-hmm. And Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again asked him three times. And then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You will be tested." Oh. And because Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what was coming. And what happened is, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara and the Sulh Hudaybiyah happened, because he'd accepted Islam, his father and his brothers had chained him up. Now one day what he does is he manages to escape. So he breaks out of the house, he's still in chains, and he travels from Makkatul Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara by foot with chains. So you can imagine that he's very, very, he's almost been tortured in the place he is. He's in chains, he's traveling, and the riwayat says that he had a little bit of horse ride in between, so he found somebody. But most of the way in chains, he walked it to Madinatul Munawwara, and he was full of blood and, you know, wounds and everything else. And he gets to the blessed court of the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they say that blood was oozing out of his wounds as well. He manages to reach the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's there explaining himself when two people from Makkah came, and they said that you have promised that you will return them, so he has to come back. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Abu Basir, he says, I know your pain, but I've made a promise. So you're going to have to go back with these people." And he turns around, and Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts to cry. And Sidna Abu Basir radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in pain, but he turns around and starts to go. And it says in the Hadith of Barakah, he's continually looking back, looking back, looking back. And as soon as he kind of disappears, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sits down and cries. And on the journey, the two people who were here to take him back to Makkah, they said, "You came all the way for him and he didn't even want to keep you?" He said, "No, I've even fallen in more love with my prophet, because I know he's the truthful prophet, because he didn't go back on his word that he gave you." And then the riwayat is quite long, but he says that Hazrat Abu Basir radiallahu ta'ala anhu actually on the journey took one of the swords, killed one of them, the other one ran off, and he then went into a certain part of Medina, outside the outskirts between Medina and Makkah, and set up camp there. And a lot of Sahaba Ikram, a lot of people who escaped from Makkah, used to seek refuge with him. Now, there was the last point, I think I've gone over my time, but the last point was, you know, as he was leaving, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will send you a letter. I will call you. So all his life, even though he's living on these outskirts, he was waiting for this letter. And he used to wait for the qasid, the person to bring this letter sooner or later, because Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously by this time is ruling the Arabian Peninsula. And then he's in his last time. He's in his throes of death. And he's still waiting. And the people around him, the scholars right, were saying that, you know, he's about to die. And he said, no, my Nabi has said, I will send you a message. I'm waiting for that message. Wow. And Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him a letter. And he looked at that letter. And then he left this world. This was the amazing Sahaba-i-Kiram and the love that they had. That no matter what it was, look at this great companion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's there at the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But because he wants to protect the word of the best of creation, he turns around and goes with these people.
The Sahaba-i-Kiram, when they were in the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all felt as if I was the one that the Prophet loves the most. And this is so beautiful.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
And every story that we mentioned here just goes back to that point as well, mashallah.
SubhanAllah. May Allah increase the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all our hearts. Our main maqsid was to do that. We're going to move to our last section. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.
Now, we've been talking about the Day of Judgment, the signs of Qiyamah and everything else. But you know, when the scholars have studied the beautiful Haditha Mubarakah in relation to the Day of Judgment, and there's lots of Haditha Mubarakah in relation to the Day of Judgment, there was one great scholar who, Hazrat Hassan Raza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahman, he came up with a couplet which was very beautiful. Because having looked at all these different Haditha Mubarakah about what will happen, how people will rise from their graves, what will happen on the Day of Judgment, what will happen on the Plains of Resurrection, how accountability will happen, who will do what, he concluded that all of the Day of Judgment, the 50,000 years and everything, is evolving around one hasti. And that, you know, it seems to be everything is around, evolving around the pleasure and the rizā and the agreement of this one creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he wrote a very beautiful couplet. Ke fakat itna sabab hai inqaad bazme mahshar ka ke unki shaan mehboobi dikhai jaane wali hai. Ke the reason for the creation of the Day of Judgment, or the establishment of the Day of Judgment, or organizing the Day of Judgment, is simply to show the whole of creation the great status of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And that's not just an ashiqi rasul, you know, somebody who is a devotee of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of the love and devotion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying it. When you look at the Haditha Mubarakah, from, you know, the very point that, you know, the horn is blown and people start to rise from their graves. You see, what is truly amazing, when one looks at the world, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam ala Nabiyyina salatu wasalam to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, every one of them gave glad tidings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The great walis of the time, you know, all the great scholars of the past ummats all gave glad tidings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all the talk before the arrival into this world of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then from the time of Nabi, at the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the world was mesmerized, and you know, the light was so beautiful that it spread over the world. And then after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put a veil between themselves and this world, since for the last 1460 years, it's all about been about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it will be till the Day of Judgment. So far as the world is concerned, it seems like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the center of attention of the world. That's one thing, that's amazing, that's magnificent. But what here we were referring to is the Day of Judgment. It's supposed to be the day of accountability. It's supposed to be the day of sazā and jazā, you know, your punishment, your reward. It's supposed to be the day when you will be held accountable. All of these things. And yet here again, what you're seeing is that in every moment when somebody's in difficulty, the one saving grace is the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever somebody is being punished and he's helped, it's by the wasila of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to take it from the beginning. So when the people rise from the grave, who will rise first on the Day of Judgment?
Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Subhanallah. I assume from obviously Madinatul Munawwara, Aqa Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
You know the ayat Habib I read. Now this Harun Bhai is amazing. What the Quran actually does here, it tells us something just phenomenal. Now the first one, it says Nabi Jin. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried, and next to him is Isa Alayhi Salaam, who will be buried.
Allah Allah.
Was Siddiqeen. Next to him is Hazrat Siddiq Akbar. Was Shuhada.
Allah.
Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab is the Shaheed. And then was Saliheen. And the 10,000 in Jannatul Baqi. Now this itself is a map in the Quran.
Allah.
Where these personalities are buried. And together they will go towards the plains of Mahshar.
Can you imagine that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrives and then Sayyidina Isa alayhi sallam, because there will come a time when the first horn is blown and everything will finish and there will be nothing but Allah azza wa jal. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will rise from the Mubarak Roza and then Hazrat Sayyidina Isa alayhi sallam will rise, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala and then the Ahle Baqi, those who are blessed and honored and privileged to be in Baqi Sharif will, and then this beautiful Jurmat, I don't know what the equivalent word is in English.
The Jalus.
This Jalus, this beautiful gathering, this beautiful, you know, I don't know.
Procession
will march towards the plains of resurrection. Can you imagine that? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leading the way. Zulfu lahratehu wa Allahu Akbar. The day of judgment is amazing, but it's nothing compared to the beauty of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that will be there. Okay, so we've learnt about the rising. And then I assume after the Baqi Sharif, then the pious Awliya Ikram, the other Nabis I suppose will go first, and then the pious Awliya Ikram, and all these pious people will make their way to the plains of resurrection.
And the ayat is, يَوْمَ نَشْرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ وَفْدًا, i.e. the day we resurrect the muttaqeen. So we had صالحون جَنَّةُ الْبَقِينَ muttaqeen, pious people. So you know, the Quran is هُدَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So whoever implements the Quran, he is a muttaqeen person. Because that was, whoever follows the guidance is a muttaqeen. So whoever's a muttaqeen, he will rise from his grave. So the grave's going to be inverted. Whatever's inside will come out, whatever outside it will go in. And he will come out, and whatever state he died in, if he died drinking alcohol, he will resurrect in that state. If he died reading namaz, he will resurrect in that state.
Sayyidina Ismail Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was martyred while reading the glorious Quran.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So yeah. He will rise reading the glorious Quran.
Subhanallah. They will have something, a form of transport. They will have a buraq basically, these pious people. The muttaqoon, they will have a transport to go on, you know, sit on, and they will be have this transport to go on.
Allahu Akbar. So everybody will get, obviously those who have ignored the rites of Allah Azza wa Jal, who didn't have time for Salah, who didn't have time for the Quran, they will get up from their graves almost like madmen, screaming, thinking, hey, what's happened, why? And yet they'll be tormented in the grave as well, but they'll get up in that sort of state. And they will be running in all directions, nafsa nafsi, as they say, drowning in their own sweat. Now, how long will this go on for? So, ignoring the pious servants of Allah, ignoring this amazing and beautiful procession, which is beyond our imagination, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leading all these amazing people towards the plains of Mashar. I mean, that's just mesmerizing. But the rest of creation, you know, the Gunagar.
Rumbai, again, Ashab al Kahf, the story comes back here again.
Allah, Allah.
Look, in Ashab al Kahf, they slept for, Allah doesn't tell us the exact number, but 309 or 300 years. Now, for them, it was a day, half a day, and then one of them says that Allah knows better, we don't know. But it was in essence 300 plus years. Now, for some people, exact same thing, there's going to be a time lapse. That for some people, it's 50,000 years. For some people, it's the distance between Zuhr and Asr Salah.
Allah, Allah.
So the Ashab al-Kahf for them is a half a day, a few namaz, a namaz time ago. That's how long they slept for. But for the rest of the civilization, it was 300 odd years. So the same way on the Day of Judgment, the pious person for him is like just, you know, from Zohar namaz to Asr namaz. The pious person when he falls asleep in his grave and then the horn blows from Israfil alayhi salam, he will say, who's woke me up from this beautiful sleep? And then for him, he'll go and sit in the shade of the throne of Allah. He'll go and, you know, be with the Anbiya alayhimus salam, with the scholars, with the pious people. And for him, time will fly.
What I wanted to come back to is the shayr that I started with, Teri Shani Mahbubi Dikhai Jane Wali Hai. Now, how long will the armed public be waiting on the plains of resurrection? Because the scholars write that they won't, the accountability won't start straight away. What happens there, Habibi?
So almost when the scholars say half a day will pass and people will be waiting, you know, when will this day and the whole scenario occur? So those people that were fearing of themselves that, you know, what judgment is going to happen, they're going to go and seek some kind of intercession. So it's been mentioned that they're going to go to different Anbiya Ikram
alayhi wa sallam. When you say half a day, the day is 50,000 years long. Yeah. So is that 25,000 years?
So it's one day, Harun bhai. One day. But for some people, it's going to feel as if it's 50,000 years long. But it is in essence one day.
So when you say
half a day,
it's 25,000 years. So for 25,000 years, they are waiting for accountability to start. And you've got the sun.
They are waiting that, okay, because the severities are crazy. The sun's just there, the sweating, the drowning in the sweat, blood pus is really bad.
Terrifying.
And then, you know, the embarrassment they're suffering because their sins will be visible. The darkness of their sins are visible. And so for them, they're like, Ya Allah, either punish us in hellfire or let us go into Jannah, but get us out of this scenario. That's how severe the day of judgment will be. So from that, Habib,
but 25, half a day. So what happens then? No accountability is starting. These billions of people are crying, screaming, shouting, suffering the torment. What happens then? What do they do?
So they go to different Anbiya Ikram alayhi salatu wasalam. First we'll go to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, being the first prophet, the first person to come to the earth. And they will knock on his door and they will ask him that, you know, O Prophet of Allah, they will mention his al-qabat, his titles, and they will praise him and they will say, O Prophet of Allah, intercede for us. And he will say that on this day I have not felt the severity of the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more severe than this day.
Allah.
And then he'll send them to the Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And like this, they will go down to each single prophet, down to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, then down to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And when they came to Sayyidina Isa, he will then refer them to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
I mean, I just want to imagine this. Will the entire creation,
civilization,
will be running to the
some will be slithering like a snake, some will be crawling, some will be like trying to walk. They will go towards Adam alayhi salam. They'll mention, you are Safi Allah, Allah created you.
I assume that the Anbiya Ikram on that day will be on great high positions. So all of the entire creation will come to the court of Sayyidina, and they'll all know we are at the court of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, or Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, or Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. So our topic is the Shani Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment, but all the Anbiya Ikram will have amazing status on that day.
Definitely. So they'll go to Adam alayhi salam. When they get there, Adam alayhi salam, today is not my day, go to someone else. From there, now the amazing thing is, right, Adam alayhi salam and the people knowing this, they could just say, you know, go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. But the way this happens is Allah sends them around every single prophet.
Allah.
And purposely goes to every single prophet.
So this is approximately, give or take, 124,000. So on that day of judgment, the entire creation will, those who are blessed and privileged and are with the Anbiya Ikram, with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are, but the rest of the creation will be running billions of people. I mean, there's 6.9 billion on the earth at the moment. So billions and billions of people running from one prophet there to the other prophets there on the day of judgment. This is the beginning.
I was going to mention that, you know, the ulama, they even mentioned the state that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be in, and they make it similar to that of a mother who's lost the child, and in such a state that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be looking for his ummatis. And he was born saying ummati, ummati, and alhamdulillah, on the day of resurrection as well, he won't forget his ummatis as well.
So they will go to the court of Sayyidina Isa alaihi salam. Sayyidina Isa alaihi salam will say, go to the Dar-e Mubarak of the court, the grand court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now, up until that point, approximately, give or take, 124,000 Nabi's messengers of Allah have said, "Izhabu ila ghairi," go to somebody else. I can't help you today. So, what are the people expecting then when they come to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
So, what they are expecting? So, they went to the entire civilization again, ended up on the doorstep of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this time. And the Prophet ﷺ says, Analaha, that this is my purpose. I am made for this. This is why I am here, to basically help the followers, to intercede. And now what will happen? No one will be able to do sajda on that day. On the Day of Judgment, no one will be able to do sajda. The Prophet ﷺ will be given the ability to perform direct sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A voice. Allah will command the Prophet ﷺ that speak, you will be heard, ask, you will be given, and intercede, your intercession will be accepted. So this is basically what is Maqam-e Mahmood, the station of praise. This is where the entire civilization is praising the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
See, I can see where now Hassan Raza Khan rahman has got this couplet from, because the entire creation of Allah Azzawajal is running from one prophet to the other, and the prophets are saying, we can't help you today, but they're directing them on. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam directs them to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam. And although all these prophets have said, we can't help you, Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam says, Ana laha, I will help you on this day.
Mere huzoor ke lab par
ana laha hoga. So at that point, the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal will only find hope of salvation at the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will fall into prostration in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, in front of the whole creation, will say that I give you, you know, I will make you happy, I'll give you the right of intercession, and ask you will be given it. So In all of this, you know, you got the great Anbiya Ikram and everything else. I can see why Hasan Raza Khan said ke unki shaan-e mehboobi dikhai jaane wali hai, because nobody else, but everybody on that day will admire the importance and the status and the respect and the honor of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah.
Now you got different types of shafa'at, kubra, sughra, but the intercession will start, accountability. There where the good deeds are weighed, the bad deeds are weighed, the good ones going to Jannat, the bad ones. This is the second half of the Day of Judgment. The first half is, you know, when you hear them ahadith, some people will be running around with, you know, the sweat up to the ankles, up to the knees, up to the chest. You know, they'll be drowning in the sweat. You know, you being questioned for every single thing you have done, your intention in every single thing, that alone will scare the life out of you. And that's why that part takes another 25,000 years. Mm-hmm. The Prophet ﷺ, he makes, Ya Allah, give us hisaban yaseera, give us a swift judgment. Swift judgment means, okay, this, go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Understand? A long judgment is, okay, why did you do this? Why did this happen on this day? Why did you look left at this time? This is a long judgment where everything is pinpointed. If one thing is pinpointed, you're not in a good situation.
Also miss that part, and they'll be given entrance into Jannah without accountability. So we should always try to make dua as well, that Allah
gives us. That's what I mean, the Sunnah says all the time, Ya Allah, forgive us without accountability. Because if we were to be held accountable for the things we've done, Allah, may Allah Azawajal help us. Because, you know, we don't even know. Somebody was making dua once, and it was really kind of hit me hard, because he said, Ya Allah, please forgive me for those sins that I know I've committed, and please forgive me for those I don't know I've even committed, because we commit sins. And so a lot of the time the shaitan deceives us into thinking we're pious, and that, yet our list of good deeds is like that, and our list of bad deeds is a scroll that can be spread out.
There's a shir, isn't there? Adil kareta
thar thar kambun uchiya shana wale
fazal kareta bakshe jaman. Now, if the Allah Azawajalla was to be just to us, even the greatest of personalities on that day will be shaking. And if he was to do, you know, fadal upon us, if he was to pour his grace on us, we'd be forgiven. Even people like us would be forgiven if he was to do his fadal upon us.
Allah Akbar. There was that famous, we're coming to the end, I think there was that famous waqia of accountability. We're going to carry on this subject inshallah next week as well, because there are many, many hadith mubarakah on this topic of the Aqa Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Shani Mubarak. But there was one that really touched my heart, that accountability will be taking place, and one person will, his sins will be more, his good deeds will be less, so he'll be ordered to be taken to the fire of hell. And Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam will call out to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, they're taking your ummati towards the fire of hell. And Nabi Kareem, and this guy, he's lost all, because he's lost hope now. He's thinking, I've got no, you know, my deeds have been weighed, and I've been spending my life ignoring things and doing everything else and committing sins. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and stops the angels and says, where are you taking this ummati of mine? And they say, Ya Rasulullah, his deeds have been weighed and he's been given the command. We're just here to fulfill the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will bring him back to the scales, pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the hisab of kitab will start again. It's a long hadith of barakah, but I'm going to try and keep it brief. But the accountability will start again, and all his good deeds will be put on one pan of the balance, all his bad deeds will be put on the other pan of the balance. And on the Day of Judgment is weird, because in the world, heavy stuff comes down, yeah, and light stuff rises.
The laws of physics will change that.
The laws of physics will change. So on there, the good deeds, the heavier will go up and the lighter will come down. And so again, he's thinking, what's the point if we're going to be weighing again? You know, I know what I've done and I know the deeds are there and I know it's all accurate, but the deeds are put on there. And again, the sins are heavier. Mm. So he thinks, well, you know, I've had it now. And then Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes out a piece of paper from their blessed pocket Mubarak, and they put it on the good deeds side. And suddenly the good deeds go up, and a nada comes, the announcement comes that he sent him into Jannah. And as he's being taken towards Jannah, he keeps looking back. And in the Hadith Mubarak, it says that he asks the angels, can you take me to this person who's helped me? And he comes and he actually asks, he says, who are you? And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am your Nabi, I am your Prophet. And he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did you put on the pan of the balance? What was it that saved me from, you know, I was destined to go into hell, and what has saved me? How come you brought me back, and what was that thing? And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's the Durood-e Pak that you read in my love and affection in this world, and that made all the difference. And so then this is just one story. Inshallah, in the next few weeks we've got loads, where lots of people who are stuck on the plains of Mashar, who are in so much difficulty, you know, we've still got the story about the person who's not got enough deeds to go into Jannah, there's not got enough deeds, bad deeds to go into Jahannam, he's in between, and he says, Ya Allah, can I go there. There are all these stories, inshallah, to come. We've come to the end of our program, a very packed program today. If nothing else, the one thing that we take away from it is life is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is life if you truly want to experience it. Salu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen bijahin Nabi Ameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here. Remember the hereafter, and you will remember why you are here and what you are after.